Can we continue the meeting, please, by turning to the Epistle to the Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, and chapter 1 to begin with. We do welcome all in the Saviour's name. We're glad that you've come, and we do trust that you will be blessed tonight around the Word of God. Romans, please, in chapter 1 and the verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name. Verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual benefit, to the end ye may be established. Verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so as much as in me is. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Chapter 3, please. Romans 3 and verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Down to verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of every one that believeth in Jesus. Chapter 10, please. Romans chapter 10. And verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And finally, a verse or two in chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is in Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she has been a succourer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. And God will bless the reading of his word, and we look to God for help in the proclamation of the gospel. This epistle from which we have read was written by Paul the Apostle in A.D. 57 or thereabouts, after 3 missionary journeys, after 20 years of preaching the gospel in hardships unimaginable all across the ancient world. Now our text tonight is Romans 10 and 13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Over 800 years before Paul penned these wonderful words, the old prophet Joel who'd spoken for God 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, and over 800 years before Paul wrote Romans, Joel wrote, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I want to tell you tonight, dear friend in the meeting, that that prophecy was fulfilled, and it came to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And tonight, almost 2,000 years after Paul wrote these words, we're still proclaiming the gospel. Thank God it's still going forth, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And before we go a minute further in this meeting, I call upon you. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Are you saved? That's why this meeting is conducted. Oh yes, the Christians love the gospel. Oh yes, there's glory for God in the preaching of the gospel. But this meeting is conducted for you, my friend, if you're not saved. And I throw out the challenge again. Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Are you saved? Before we turn again to focus on Romans 10:13, I want very quickly to skim through this tremendous writings of Paul in relation to the gospel. We want to see this verse in its context. It sits there in the middle of this wonderful epistle that brings before us the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to think about the epistle very quickly in five ways. I want to think about the prologue to the epistle. We'll see that in chapter 1. A few comments to make upon it. We want to notice, secondly, that there's a problem exposed in the epistle. That's chapter 1, the middle of chapter 1 through to the middle of chapter 3. There's a provision revealed in the epistle. That's chapter 3, verse 21 through to verse 26. And we want to come back again to the proclamation that we see in the epistle. And that is, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want, as we come to the final moments of the meeting, to think for a second or two about the postscript to the epistle, for that's what chapter 16 is. We want to focus on these things very quickly. The subject of the epistle is, as I've said, the gospel of God. Paul tells us about the fact that he has authority from God as he brings this message. He's an apostle. He's a sent one. He comes with all the authority of the risen Lord Jesus himself. And I want to pause there. This message comes to you with all the authority of the Lord himself. Have you bowed to it? This is not something that has been made by men. This is coming to you from God himself. Oh, we think of the authority of it all. And the subject of the epistle is the gospel of God. And Paul tells us in the second verse of the first chapter that it's all supported by Holy Scripture. And thankfully he tells us in the third verse, it's not only the gospel of God as to its source and to its authority. It's all supported by Holy Scripture, but it is all centered in a person, in the Lord Jesus. It's the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And our desire in the gospel is that you would be drawn to him and that you would come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then Paul tells us in the first chapter the object of the gospel. What's it for? It's God's gospel. It's supported by Scripture. It's centered in the Lord Jesus. But what's the gospel for? Well, there's a threefold objective to the gospel. And I want to focus especially on the first one, which we find in verse 5 of chapter 1. It's for obedience to faith, for obedience to the faith among the nations. What's it for? This gospel's for sinners. This gospel's for you. Let me say this. It's for obedience. Have you obeyed the gospel? The gospel makes demands on us. Demands that we face up to the truth concerning God, concerning ourselves, concerning the provision that God has made. The gospel makes demands on us. Have you bowed to its demands? Have you obeyed the gospel? For let me say, there's a day coming, we read about it in the Word of God, when there's going to be judgment upon all those that obey not the gospel. It's time you obeyed the gospel. And so we come. It's for the obedience of faith. And then the apostle goes on as we come very quickly to the problem that's exposed in the epistle. We find that from chapter 1, verse 18 through to 3 and 20. And there's a problem exposed as Paul brings this message of the gospel to us. And Paul brings before us here, as it were, a courtroom scene where the whole of humanity is on trial before God, before a God of absolute righteousness, of intrinsic holiness. And in this courtroom, sins are mentioned. Chapter 1, verse 29 to 31, there are sins there that we will not speak of publicly, but I want to just focus on one or two things that are mentioned. Sins, covetousness, pride, boasting, disobedience to parents, it's all there, and they're all sins. And as we look at this chapter and go through these verses, we discover that in the courtroom God brings in, as it were, every strata of society. He speaks about those who are rebellious, who say they don't want God. He brings in those that live refined lives, who think they don't need God. He brings in religious people who think they have got God. And we notice as we go carefully through chapter 2 of Romans that God's judgment is according to truth. That is, that God's dealing with reality. And I wonder in this meeting tonight, are you willing to face up to reality? Because that's what God deals in. And there's coming a day when God will deal with you as you really are. God's judgment is according to truth. He's dealing with reality. Again in chapter 2 we learn that God is no respecter of persons. And we learn also in chapter 2 that God's got a day when he's going to deal with the secrets of men's hearts. We've already heard you can't hide from God. And there's a judgment day ahead. And it's a day when God will deal with you for your sins. And the apostle comes on here in chapter 3 of Romans. And he sums the whole case up. And he says, there's none righteous, no, not one. He says, every mouth is stopped. The whole world is guilty before God. All stand condemned in the courtroom of God's inflexible justice. I want us tonight to face up to the divine verdict on humanity. None righteous, no, not one, not even you, none righteous. And as you hear this tonight, are you saying, I don't care? I'll go on living as I like, doing as I please. Or I will live on in my life of refinement as far as men are concerned. Or I will stick to my religion. I bring the word of the apostle to you again from Romans chapter 2 and the verse 5. To beware, because your stubbornness and your unwillingness to repent, by that you're storing up wrath for yourself against the day of wrath. A day when God will judge. And it's a privilege for you to hear these things tonight in the day of gospel grace, when the door of salvation is still open, when you still have opportunity for to be saved. Because in that coming day of judgment, it's too late. Too late. And let God be true and every man a liar. And recognize that God is right and you're wrong. There's a problem revealed in the epistle. But thank God there's a provision revealed in the epistle. After we see this tremendous verdict that God has on humanity, that we're all sinners, that there's none righteous, no, not one, Paul says, but now, there's a way to be made right with God. This is the gospel. Thank God for it. In this great black background we have of the sin and guilt of all humanity. But now there's a way to be made right with God. And these verses that we read in Romans 3, verse 21 through 26, that way is manifested, that way has been made clear to us. Paul says it was witnessed in the Old Testament. Says all these Old Testament sacrifices, they were all pointing forward to what Paul's speaking about here. And Paul says here in Romans 3, 21 through 26, that we can be made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. That is by believing, by trusting on Him, by resting entirely on Him. That's what faith is. And he says it's freely. What that means is this. Without a cause in you, no reason why God would save you. We can be justified, made right with God, freely, without a cause in us, by His grace. That just means it's God's favor to the undeserving. God bestowing blessings that we don't deserve. But on what basis is it all? Well, the apostle goes on, he says, it's through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He speaks about God setting Jesus Christ forth as a well-pleasing sacrifice that meets His just demands in relation to humanity's sin. And he says it's in His blood. What is Paul doing here in Romans 3? He's pointing us to Calvary. He's pointing us to the cross. He's pointing us to that day when God's beloved Son, who came from heaven's glory and lived a sinless life, for He was a sinless man, went to Calvary's tree to die for sinners, to die for sin, to bear the judgment of God, whom God hath set forth to be a well-pleasing sacrifice through faith in His blood. It's through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that in the gospel there's a provision revealed for sinners. There's salvation available. God has provided it. God has provided it in the person and work of His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. And there at Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus laid down a righteous basis upon which God, in absolute consistency with His own character, can declare to be righteous, right with God, right in the sight of God, all who believe in Jesus. And God can be just. That is, God can remain right, and He can make sinners right in His sight. That's the gospel. You've sinned. Far away from God. You've got sins in your life. But you can be declared right in the sight of God by accepting the work that Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. This hymn writer put it this way: God could not pass the sinner by. His sins demand that he must die. Yet in the cross of Christ we see how God can save, yet righteous be. The sinner who believes is free can say, the Savior died for me. Can point to the atoning blood and say, this made my peace with God. That's all available for you tonight, friend, if you're not saved. The provision has been made. Oh yes, we've discovered, I trust, the problem that's been revealed. You're a sinner and the problem of your sins. But we've been thinking about the provision that's been made. That work is all done. The Lord Jesus cried, "It is finished. It's paid in full. The work is all done." And the sinner who believes is free. But then there's the proclamation. We'll come quickly to it. If you know the demands of God, God's righteousness, and you've been coming to face up to your sins and your guilt and your unrighteousness, and having heard that provision has been made for sinners like you and me, how can we then be saved? I hope you know you're a sinner. I hope you've got a consciousness of your sins. I hope you realize you've got God to meet in a day yet to come. And you've heard it 100 times before, I'm sure, that there's a Savior for sinners and that salvation has been provided. But how do we get it? Well, we come to our text. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let us look at it very quickly. Whosoever. That's the breadth of the invitation. It just means anyone at all. Anyone at all. My dear one tonight, you've maybe seen invitations where you weren't included. The gospel invitation's going out to you and you're included in the gospel invitation. Whosoever, broad invitation, whosoever shall call, simple condition, but calling out of a sense of need. I'm a poor, lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, and if I'm not saved, I'm going to be lost and lost forever. I'm going to be out into the caverns of the lost for all eternity. I need to be saved. Whosoever shall call, yes, there's a simple condition, simply call. But notice, please, the apostle goes on, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. There is a particular person, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one can save you but Jesus. There's no other way but His way. That name, calling upon the name, means His power, His authority, His ability. There's no other Savior, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We're living in a world that calls itself multi-faith and all that kind of thing. The Word of God is clear, plain and true. There's only one Savior and there's only one way to be saved. And if you refuse to call on Him, you'll be lost. Whosoever shall call on the name, a broad invitation, a simple condition, a particular person, but notice please, the apostle says, shall be saved. That's an absolute certainty. An absolute certainty. It's a divine promise. This is the word of the Lord we're dealing with tonight. This is not the thoughts of men. This is God's word. We can rest entirely upon it. Heaven and earth will pass away. The word of the Lord remains forever. You can rest your all upon the Lord Jesus and upon the word of God. Whosoever, the broad invitation, shall call, the simple condition, on the name of the Lord, a particular person, shall be saved, an absolute certainty. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The epistle ends. Romans 16. Lovely chapter to take time to read. Why did I mention it? Simply because of this. Paul lists for us here 26 names from different backgrounds, different cultures, different genders. He lists 26 individuals, all of whom had called, and all of whom were justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And these people, all of them, had known the power of the gospel in their lives, and they proved it by their lives. Their lives were changed, and the Apostle Paul commends them. These people used to be Jews that were steeped in religion. They were heathens who had no laws at all and lived like animals. There were some of them who were Greeks and lived cultured lives, but they'd faced up to the truth of the gospel and they'd bowed to it and they were saved and they were changed. And the gospel has emancipated them. The gospel has ennobled them. It's elevated them. It's enriched them spiritually. And every one of them is now worshipping God with their life and living lives for the glory of God. That's why God wants to save you. Oh, I know there's salvation from hell, and I know he'll take you to heaven, but he wants you to live for him presently. That's what it's all about. And I close with a lovely verse from the Old Testament. It really sums up the whole of the epistle to the Romans. He, that is God, raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the beggars out of the dunghill, and he sets them among princes, and he makes them inherit the throne of glory. These are some of the princes that Paul knew, set among such people as these. And thank God, thank God, thank God, the gospel door is still open. Provision has been made for sinners in the death of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. And the gospel door is still open. And we're still proclaiming it. 2,000 years after Paul wrote these words. Oh, would it come to you tonight in power, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. May God bless his word to our hearts.